everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our early January podcast, our 33rd podcast, our end of season 3 podcast. God bless the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. And we'll start today with a tape interview, just taped a few days ago, from Jill Nicole, who's visiting from Las Vegas. She's a resident there, and she's one of the founding members of Casinos USA. And we're very proud to present her to you today, Jill Nicole. Hey, we're back. As you know, or you may know, our podcast is January 4th. It's called God Bless the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. And of course, we're referring to the professional hockey franchise. And people in Pittsburgh really have mixed emotions about the Las Vegas team because they got one of our great goalies who actually led us to a couple Stanley Cups, and that's Marc-Andre Fleury. But 2017 brought the worst tragedy in a mass shooting, of course, and everyone in North America is familiar with it. But the Golden Knights played a role in the days after that sad, sad, tragic shooting. So we have Jill Nicole, who lives in Las Vegas, to talk about some of the things that she recalls about the role of the Golden Knights, that hockey team, following the tragedy. Here's Jill.
Well, opening night was the beginning of the love affair between Las Vegas locals and the Golden Knights. I still get emotional talking about it. You have the opening night. They, instead of focusing on themselves, they united the community with their presentation. They had a moment of silence, and they had the 58 names of the victims projected onto the ice. I know I read an article by David Perrone, one of the left wingers, who said that it was total silence, complete respect. You couldn't hear a sound. He said sometimes you hear someone coughing, or he said it was dead silent. Then they brought out and introduced first responders and victims that were shot at the festival. And I think the whole entire town was so touched and felt so close to the Golden Knights, who really extended themselves and reached out to create quite a moment.
I understand that at your workplace, you don't have to mention a name, but at your workplace, there was somebody who was actually at the concert.
Yeah, in fact, in the hockey players, they were in lockdown. A lot of them were on the strip that night. A lot of the hockey players know people that were there. Everyone that I know in Las Vegas, friends of mine, we all know someone that was affected by the shooting, and I do work with someone that was there, and it's too traumatic for him to talk about.
Well, again, we want to say God bless the Golden Knights. You know, I don't know if you know if our listeners are hockey fans around the world, but they're one of the great hockey teams this year.
They have the longest winning streak in NHL history for an inaugural year. And, you know, no one really took them seriously at first. They were just a bunch of throwaways for this expansion team. And Perrone said in his article that it really was the same way a lot of people look at Vegas. Vegas isn't a real city to so many people, but to those of us that live there, we care deeply about it. It is a real city, and they became a real hockey team. I'm getting emotional.
That's okay. I think all our listeners understand. And Jill, of course, is in the Pittsburgh suburbs right now, and she's been here since Christmas Day, and she's got hit with the cold wave that's affected the northern part of the United States, and particularly the east. And it's 11 degrees outside, but what's the temperature today in Las Vegas? It's 11 degrees in Pittsburgh.
It's a high of 66 in Vegas.
66 in Vegas. Well, Jill, thank you for coming home for Christmas, and I know you can't wait to get back to that sunshine.
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to say is, you know, they say not everything that glitters is gold. But I want to say that the Golden Knights, they glitter. They glitter brightly.
Well said. Thank you, Jill. Okay, we'll be right back after this short break. We do have a strong crap segment today. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. And also, I'm going to give a personal review of the top 10 gambling books that have influenced me and my thinking and that I've enjoyed. course, everyone's list will be a little bit different, maybe completely different, but I'm going to share that with you later in our podcast. But we were talking to Tanner Patrick. We ran into him. He's also lives in Las Vegas, and he's 23 years old. But what makes his story interesting, I think, to our millennial listeners particularly, is that he went to Las Vegas without a job and dropped out of college, actually, and decided he would just felt drawn to the city. So, and talk about his experiences of going to Las Vegas and not knowing anyone. And, you know, nearly a year and a half later, he's doing great. In fact, he has a real strong social media presence in Las Vegas, Facebook called Tanner Patrick, and a lot of followers, and he has a lot of fun with that. But we'll be talking to him and get his take. Earlier in the year, we had tremendous growth with our podcast, and we're on nearly every major outlet and some minor ones. But we had such growth that we got into a deal with iHeartRadio. We have revenue sharing with them. So when our podcast begin with an ad, we're getting a teeny-weeny bit of that, you know. So because of that, we really don't ask for any donations through PayPal or anything like that. But in dealing with iHeart, they have, I think, 5 or 6 billion subscribers. Our listing averages have gone up to nearly 400 plays per day. Boy, our goal is to get it all the way to 1,000. But, you know, around the world, there's over 400 people almost every day that are listening to us. And, of course, some days more than that, particularly when the podcasts first come out every couple weeks. So they told us their demographics, you know, that's what they do as a company. They know who's listening to their podcast and therefore who should be advertising on their podcast by the age of the listening audience, etc. That nearly 45% of our listeners are millennials, which was a complete shock to us. You know, we welcome every single one of them. But this next segment with Tanner Patrick and our interview with him is for our millennials, and I think also for parents like me and my age, or grandparents, wondering, like, could my grandson, my granddaughter, could my son, could my daughter go to Las Vegas and, you know, find a happy, normal life there, find work there, find opportunity there, and so on. So let's turn our attention then to this interview that we've just completed with Tanner Patrick, a millennial who went to Las Vegas, rolled the dice, and he's loving it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're happy to have Tanner Patrick, who just goes by Patrick, here with us from Las Vegas. And to our millennial listeners, Patrick told me off air he was in Las Vegas as a 12-year-old visiting and vacationing, and went back as a 19-year-old. And as a 23-year-old or 22-year-old, Patrick, you decided to go ahead and just go to Las Vegas. So you can tell your story. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, Fav, I went to Viva Las Vegas. Never a place I thought I'd end up, but I'll tell you what, it's been quite a blessing. Compared to growing up in a small town, I can tell you that Vegas is a 24-hour town. There's always something to do, and there's just so much more than the Strip, as a lot of people would think.
Well, I know you grew up about 20 miles from Pittsburgh and in the Pittsburgh suburbs, but you definitely experienced Pittsburgh life. But just, how would you compare Las Vegas to the city of Pittsburgh?
It's like if you got on a rocket ship and went to Mars. It's a whole different atmosphere. It's not even remotely the same. You know, the architecture's different. The skyline is different. The people are different. There's a lot of different kinds of culture, you know. I mean, growing up in a small town, there's only so many things to do, and you see the same people every day. But when you go to Las Vegas, it's just such a transient town. You're always meeting someone new. You know, some are friendly, some are not. But, you know, once you meet some good people, the good times start rolling, you know.
Well, I think you had a lot of courage, because I know people move to cities because of jobs, but you didn't have a job. You just decided you'd just kind of roll the dice and get yourself a job.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that experience, about the jobs that are available for young people?
There's a ton of jobs. You know, you can use Indeed to find one, but comparing Pittsburgh to Las Vegas and the job search, there's money in Vegas. You know, there's companies that are looking to hire people every day. You know, there's a new job being posted on the hour, different qualifications. A lot of the casino jobs you can get into, you know, they just have a really long, application process, you know.
Well, I wanted to ask you about you know, when people go to Las Vegas, generally now they're on a vacation and they party and stuff. How do young people go out there and live there and avoid that, losing their money, drinking to oblivion? How do you avoid that, being young and still have a good time?
You know, it's almost like you would incorporate your average everyday life that you have wherever you are before and then just apply it to Las Vegas. Yeah, there's tons of amenities and there's tons of things to do. You can go down to the casinos, but a lot of the locals there, and if you live there for some time, that kind of stuff gets old, you know, because you don't want to go to the casino and blow all your money on a daily basis. Plus, to live that kind of lifestyle, you have to have a ton of money. But outside of the Strip, things are relatively cheap. You know, the rent's definitely affordable. The jobs pay a lot better than a lot of other places in the country. Opportunities are everywhere, you know.
It's strange. I know you're a big Steeler fan. You still are. But you said that you think Las Vegas is really your home now.
Yeah, Las Vegas is definitely my home. It's expanded my horizons so much. The amount of people, the amount of culture that you take in, the way of life is very different. There's anything you can think of that you would want to shop for is in Vegas. And if they don't have it there at the moment, they'll fly it in for you, you know, that day. That's how much there is to do.
iHeartRadio, you know, we're in a revenue sharing with them, and they told us in their demographics of our podcast that 45% of our listeners are under the age of 35. So let's just close by any young listeners out there thinking about going to Las Vegas. So what would you tell them?
I would tell them just to go. You know, just go and put yourself out there and immerse yourself in it. You know, your conceptions of what Vegas is are totally not what it's going to be like when you live there. You know, it's not all casinos and gambling. There's a whole nother way of life there. They do a lot for locals. They have festivals, concerts, art shows, anything you're interested in, they have there. And they have it more than at least what I knew here, you know.
Well, as we're sitting here talking today in the Pittsburgh suburbs, it's 17 degrees outside, and I know it's, what, 60-something?
60 with a little bit of wind and palm trees, swimming pools and everything.
Okay, Tanner Patrick, thank you. I can find you on Facebook?
You just look me up as Tanner Patrick. It should be the first one that comes up. Very popular on there, so check me out.
Okay, people might want to follow you because you are young and living single in Las Vegas, and you're a good-looking guy.
All right.
Okay.
For sure.
All right, everybody, we'll be back. Take a short break and come right back. So let's turn our focus back to the game of craps. And, you know, we're going to talk about just walking by a table and you're just going to play a few minutes. This happens sometimes when you're just checking a place out. Or another thing that happens, like I'll be playing, video poker, or I'll be having a drink at a bar, and I think, hey, you know what? I'm going to go over and see if I can win, $20 or so and use that to play video poker. So, I mean, don't lose your fret about this because you can enjoy yourself a whole lot, you know, playing this way. And so for what we're going to talk about here, if you had $22 to bet, and we could talk about a $5 minimum table, and just, you know, if it's $10 table, just do the math once you see what we're doing. A common thing to do with $22 is to play the Iron Cross. I also call that the Fremont Street grind because it's so common on Fremont Street. But the Iron Cross is where you bet minimums on the 5, the 6, and the 8. So the 5 would be $5. The 6 and 8 would be $6. That's the minimum bet on each one. And then $5 on the field, which would be the minimum bet for a total of $22. So we're going to compare playing the Iron Cross with what is commonly called, and this is what most people would call it, if you're giving your money to the dealer, you put it down and say 22 inside. If you're giving your money for the Iron Cross, you'd say bet the 5, 6, and 8 for one unit because you put the money on the field yourself. So 22 inside would be a $5 bet on the 5 and the 9, and then there would be a $6 bet on the 6 and 8 for $22. So what's better, to play a $22 Iron Cross or a $22 inside? And what we're going to talk about here is we're going to talk about just staying on the bet for 3 rolls. So it's important to understand that once you put your money down, whether you're playing the Iron Cross or 22 inside, and a 7 is rolled, bang, you lost it. You lost $22. So what you're risking anytime you do either one is $22. Okay, so here's the difference. A $5 bet on the field pays $5 if the number is rolled next. is a 3, a 4, a 9, a 10, an 11. So 3, 4, 9, 10, 11 would pay you $5, one for one. Your 5, 6, 8 bet would just stay there. Because a field number was rolled, they'd still be okay. All right, if you happen to roll snake eyes, a 2, you'd get $10. So the field pays $10 on a deuce. And if you would be lucky enough to roll a 12, or not you necessarily, somebody rolls a 12 while you have this bet, then you could be paid either $10 or $15, because it depends on the casino. The large majority of casinos just pay 2 to 1, so you'd pay get $10. But there's still those that do it correctly and pay 3 to 1, so you'd get $15. Remember, the place bets on the 5, 6, 8 are not one roll bets, and they stay up until a player tells the dealer to turn them off or take them down, or a 7 is rolled. So you have to, when you're playing the Iron Cross, you have to pay attention, because every time a number is rolled, you might be getting paid, or you might have lost it if a 5, 6, or 8 was rolled. And that's the issue with the Iron Cross. So on a 5, 6, or 8, which would normally a $5 bet and a $6 bet on a 6 and 8, $5 bet on a 5 would pay $7, but they're only going to pay you $2 because, well, they're going to give you $7, but they're taking $5 off the table, your field bet. So in essence, the 5, 6, and 8 only pays you $2. So it all depends what rolls. You know, if someone goes to the table and they roll a 5, a 6, and a 10, well, you want $2 on the 5 and $2 on the 6 because of your losses on the field. And then you won $5 on the field on the 10, so you won $9. Now, if you got lucky and somebody rolled a deuce and a 12, you know, right off the bat, you either got, you know, $10 and then another 10, or $10 and 15, you got 25. So that's the issue. Now, if you're playing inside 22 and you have a $5 5, a $6 6, a $6 8, and a $5 9, you're going to win $7, no matter, you know, what comes up. As long as it's not a 7, if a 5, 6, 8, or 9 comes up, you're winning $7. If any other numbers come up, you're not doing anything, but you're not losing any money. So the way I would do this is, let's say somebody else is a shooter. So the shooter rolls a point, and you're there at the table, and I would just hand the dealer the $22 and either say, one unit on a 5, 6, 8 for the Iron Cross, or I would say inside 22 for the 5, 6, 8, 9, you know, and that's a very common bet, so they would understand it. But we're talking about, you're only leaving it up for 3 rolls. Hopefully a 7 doesn't roll. You're only leaving it up for 3 rolls. So in essence, you can double your money pretty fast. You know, 3 rolls doesn't take much time. If somebody rolls, let's say, a 5, a 6, and 2 nines, you know, you got $28. And you doubled your money. Oh, I said 4 rolls. Okay, you got $21. So you almost double your money. So if you go 3 rolls and down, now remember, if you're not used to doing this, just tell the dealer, take me down. And what they do is they pick up the chips, and when there's a break in the game, they may hand the chips, put the chips on the table, then you pick them up. They don't hand them to you, but they put them on the table, and you pick them up. So if it's my situation, and I was going back to video poker, you know, I'd go over and, you know, cash those chips in, and now I got an extra $21 to play video poker with, or, you know, to have a couple drinks with. And I kind of enjoy this 3-roll, 4-roll thing anyway. And if you're serious about this and you like either one, the Iron Cross or Inside 22, and you're going to stay at the table a while, but you're still going to play this way, then your question is, are you going to take them down every time you get 3 hits? No matter which one you play, are you going to take them down? And I would advise you to think about taking them down. And you can get creative. You know, you can take, say you're saying inside 22, and let's say you're up $44 or $42 rather, and you could say, hey, you know, press the 6 and 8 to 18 each and don't play the 5 and 9. I mean, that's what you can do. I like the 22 inside at times. If people are throwing a lot of craps numbers and I'm staying there and I'm not playing pass line, or I'm not playing down pass, I'll sometimes play the Aaron Cross because I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to pick up these craps numbers and, you know, get 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 in a lot of the casinos where I go. But this is what I call low rolling. And, you know, so if I was just going to stay for 3 rolls, and I wouldn't even use a card. If I was just going to stay for 3 rolls, I'd just put down $25, you know, get my chips. And then I would either go Iron Cross or 22 inside. And if we're talking as friends here, and you're hanging with me, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to go over and get another $21 to play with. I would probably play 22 inside. The thing about either one of them, when you're playing like this, if you can get 1 or 2 hits and then a 7 comes up, you didn't win any money, but you didn't lose a ton either. You know, that's the other thing. So you have $22 invested and you lose it all in the third roll, but you already won 14. You know, you're not, all right, it didn't work out. But, you know, most often you're going to get playing 22 inside or playing the Iron Cross, you're going to get 3 rolls. If you're playing the Iron Cross, you want craps numbers to come up. If you're playing the 22 inside, you want 5, 6, 8, or 9. Remember, the place bet numbers on the Iron Cross are 5, 6, 8. And these are all minimum amounts. That's what we're talking about. So, you know, think about it. Next time you just say, I'm going to check this table out, see what's going on, and just so you're not standing there like a doofus, you know, the dealer's looking at you like, what are you doing, pal? You know, every once in a while, go $22 Iron Cross or $22 inside, and you got their attention. You're playing. You don't have to play with every shooter, you know, and you don't have to stay up. You can just say, take me off, and that they your chips stay on the table, but if a 7 is rolled, you get your chips back. Or you can say, take me down, and that's when they'll actually put the chips on the table in a break between the rolls, and then you pick them up quickly, and then you can just hang there till you have an impulse to bet again. And, you know, you can bet 22 inside for a while, or go 22 Iron Cross for a while. They both have disadvantages. The disadvantage for the 22 inside is if people are rolling numbers other than the 5, 6, 8, or 9, you're not winning any money. On the Iron Cross, you're going to win at least $2. That's what you're doing on the 5, 6, 8 because you lose the field $5. So you're always going to win money unless someone rolls a 7. If someone rolls a 7, you lose in either system. So that's the point. So that's what we were talking about. The question was, if you were just going to play for 3 rolls and you had $22, would you go with the Iron Cross or 22 inside? Most of the time, I'd find myself 22 inside. But hey, if I've been standing there and I heard a lot of craps numbers, I would, hey, let's go Iron Cross. All right, hope that makes sense to you. I think we can put this chart, kind of a summary of it, on our website, and that's www.casinosusa.bet, and you make your own decision. Have some fun with it. You're not risking a whole lot with either system. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little about gambling books, and I hope if you are into recreational gambling as I am, that you may have read one or two of these books, or maybe more, or if you haven't read any books at all, maybe this will encourage you to check some of these books out. Even if you don't buy it, just to find it in a bookstore and take a look at it. Okay, we'll be back right after a very short break. I didn't put these books in order of importance. I just, more or less, as they came to my mind, and I stopped with 10, you know, but I hope one or two, you know, connect with you. A book that influenced me deeply is titled Craps to Win Thousands, and that book is by Carol Meyer. It has a copyright of 2002. That title again, Craps to Win Thousands. I especially enjoyed the narrative style of the book, as Meyer talks about using his systems during games. That appeals to me. And two of his many axioms in the book have stayed with me. The first one is, don't bet like a robot. And the second one is, why the next roll is probably a 7. Truthfully, robot betting is how most people play craps. This is what I mean. They bet exactly the same way over time, regardless of how the game is going. If the table is trending the opposite way, they lose money. And because they won't stop betting one way, they sometimes lose big money. In his honesty, Meyer states that crap systems of betting, they do and do not work. And I agree with that statement. So I have learned a large number of betting systems, and I move from one to another rather than betting like a robot. Finally, Meyer is generally a pass line bettor, but he acknowledges how likely it is that a 7 will roll. And I think because of this book, I play from the dome pass at times because I'm just tired of trying to fight a nice cold table. So that was an important book for me, Craps to Win Thousands. Carol Meyer, by the way, was also at a craps table doing one of the legendary craps rolls in Las Vegas. And I read about it from newspaper accounts, and I was so happy that he told the story of that roll in his book. Be nice to go up to your bedroom at the casino hotel where you're staying and count out money in the tens of thousands of dollars. Oh, maybe someday. The second book is really truthfully written by Henry J. Tamboran. I just want to say any book written by a gambler, Henry J. Tamboran, is worth reading. But I particularly enjoyed Take the Money and Run. Tamboran readily admits that the casino enjoys a house edge over all bets that can be made on a craps table. And, you know, some people will say, no, you can, there's a system to get around it. But he says, no, it's not true. They do. But he also claims, and this is what I agree with, it's still possible to win in the short term with three principles. His three principles are knowledge of the odds and probabilities in craps, knowledge of which bets to make and which to avoid. All right, I'll give lip service to the first two, but this third one rings true almost always. Knowledge of how to bet and when to quit. Again, knowledge of how to bet and when to quit. And that last statement by Tamboran changed the way I once played craps. I now quit when I'm ahead so much more often than I ever have. Secondly, I turn my bets off and or take them down sometimes almost every time I play. So what am I doing? I'm taking my money and off and running. Take my money and run. Tamboran's book, Take the Money and Run. Check it out. It's worth a read. Hey, books 3 and 4 are written by the same author, Larry Edell. That's E-D-E-L-L. And I have reread both these books, I don't know, a dozen times, dozen and a half times. The Everything Crap Strategy book, that's the title of it, Everything Crap Strategy book, it has many systems in it. But I have employed Adele's ideas on hedging, yes, friends, hedge betting into many of my games and approaches. The other book by Adele that's worth a read is called Make Your Living Playing Craps. Because of this book, I have done that dollar bet on the 12 and it hits and a parlay bet after it. And I've won 6 times over the past 3 years. So this is what happens. The dollar becomes 30, it stays there, and it repeats, and it becomes 900. I did that last Easter while staying at the Luxor in Las Vegas. That was a sweet memory, particularly because my wife was with me. I also did it at the Meadows Casino in Washington, Pennsylvania, just a few months ago. And my friend saw me do it, and I said, hey, join me. So he threw $5 on the 12. This is after for the, you know, the first roll already hit. And he was so mad because it hit again. So, he won 150. I won 900. But anyway, he was still happy. But I make that crazy bet only because of the crazy bet stories in these two books. And I'm telling you, some of the bets that Larry Edell talks about are literally pretty crazy. So, finally, in talking about Larry Edell, there were 3 of us from Casinos USA, and we wanted to try one of his systems, and we went to a casino together, and it's called 5 rolls on the 6 and 8 plays bet. You take 5 rolls, and then you take them down. And anyway, we were playing at different tables. We played for the same length of time, almost 2 hours, and we all won, and our winnings totaled up to over $1,100. So none of us expected this system of his to work, but it did. And that system is in his Make a Living book, Make a Living Playing Craps. So check out Larry Edell. He's a wild one. My 5th choice is a book. It's really about video poker and comps and not about craps at all. And I learned more about comps from her book. I'm talking about Jean Scott's The Frugal Gambler than any other book I've ever read. She is often called the queen of casino comps, and for good reason. In my view, it's probably because it's true. So read her book, The Frugal Gambler. It focuses on comps and comps and comps, and it also focuses on video poker. The sixth book is by an author, and I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Frank Scoblete, S-C-O-B-L-E-T-E. But I don't know what his Americanized pronunciation is, but the book is called The Cutting Edge Craps. Cutting Edge Craps. I am going to acknowledge that I find many of Frank's views incompatible with my reasoning, right? Particularly his captain stories. No offense to the author. But in this book, Cutting Edge Craps, I do, I'm actually stimulated by some of his, what he calls advanced strategies. Personally, I wouldn't invest a dime in learning dice control instruction, paying for dice control instruction. But that's my opinion only and not meant to influence you. And whether that instruction was from Frank or anybody else, the Dominator, I don't care. I don't believe it's true, and I don't want to invest a dime in it. But that's my choice, as I said, not yours. But Frank's book, Cutting Edge Craps, is worth a read. And that's S-C-O-B-L-E-T-E. Before I close out here with the last four books, I have to apologize for my voice. This is what happens if you're in a warmer area of the United States or around the world where a warmer climate exists. I'm telling you, you wake up in the morning in Pittsburgh in recent days and it's a zero or minus three, or today was one. It does something to your voice. So I apologize, listeners. When those robins come back, I might sound the same like I used to. All right. Okay, let's go to our final four books. Book number seven is called Craps Strategy. The subtitle is How to Play to Win at Casino Craps. And it's by Michael Benson, B-E-N-S-O-N. It has a 2004 copyright date. Craps Strategy, How to Play to Win at Casino Craps by Michael Benson, B-E-N-S-O-N. I'd recommend this book for beginning players, and for two reasons. It has an awesome chapter on the joy of craps. Author Benson does a superb job in just, you know, bringing it to light. And if you're a craps player, you know what we're talking about, the joy of craps. And also the glossary is simply written and it's well illustrated. So for those two reasons, I recommend this book to the beginning craps player. Or if you just enjoy craps books, hey, it's a nice read. The eighth book is by Sam Grafstein. That's G-R-A-F-S-T-E-I-N. It's called The Dice Doctor. It has a 2011 copyright. And this book has an area that I don't think casinos want you to know about. And it's called Betting Buddies. And it's a way to get comps by playing opposite one another, and particularly in craps. So there's many other good areas, strong areas of the book. But that's one that many of us probably think about, or we don't recommend, or we wouldn't put it in writing, but Mr. Grafstein certainly has. The Dice Doctor, check that out. My ninth choice has been around for over 20 years, and it's called The American Casino Guide. And what I like about it is the coupons in the back, but really every casino in the United States, including tribal casinos, are in it. And it's set up by states, so you can go to each state and see where the casinos are and what they offer and so on. But in the beginning of the book, each year, there's articles on gambling in all different games. And these articles are written by gaming writers. So again, I would recommend American Casino Guide. Very, very deeply recommend this book. Not only for the coupons or for the information, but also for the gaming articles, the gambling articles that are in it. And I want to close out with what I'm going to call the Gambling Bible. It's a must-read for anyone who wants to have some depth of understanding about casinos. And I'll be right back with that. Well, many of you probably who read such books, are gambling books, know who I'm going to say wrote the Bible on gambling, and that's John Scarne, S-C-A-R-N-E. And the book I'm referring to is The New Complete Guide to Gambling. It's been published, republished several times, but my copy goes back to 1961, passed down from family member to me. It's awesome. Small print, black and white photos, almost 900 pages, but it covers all the major forms of gambling, even horse racing. And it's just a brilliant book. And again, it's like taking a course at UNLV, maybe in their gaming law school program. And I think the book makes the casino business sound exactly like it is, a business. And you get a little bit of a cold feeling when you talk about the statistics of gambling, casino gambling. So I don't think your education, more or less, metaphorically, in recreational gambling is complete until you get a chance to review this book. So again, John Scarne's New Complete Guide to Gambling, and it's iconic, and he's one of the world's great gamblers. And he's been employed by casinos throughout the world to rectify problems with their games, make sure the house edge is better. He's not one of these people supporting the players necessarily. And he writes very honestly about what to bet, what to play, what not to bet, etc. So it might challenge some of your thinking. But it's certainly the Bible for all those of our listeners who read and gaming books, and I'm certainly a big fan of doing such myself. So this brings us to the end of our third season of Doing Gaming Podcast. And Casinos USA started out very humbly with, I think, 19, 20, 21 people who listened to our first podcast. And I think it was because of a very nice comment made by Mark Duvall, if you can bet on that, who also miraculously listened to that first one, that suggested we were a good new podcast. I'm looking forward to meeting him maybe this April at Mohegan Sun and thanking him personally, because ever since then we just grew and grew and grew. And, you know, it's a hobby for us, and it's an enjoyable thing. It's not a money-making thing. We don't take donations. We do have an Amazon link, though, if you're so inclined. I mean, most of us are using Amazon, you know, a couple times a week, it seems. You can spread it around. But we just felt when we went to revenue sharing that it wouldn't be important for us to take donations. We'd just try to pay for the cost of production, you know, by revenue sharing, particularly with Spreaker and iHeartRadio. So again, we'll be back in February, and we're going to, our next podcast in season four, our season opening podcast, is going to be in preparation for our trip to Vegas. If you're going to be in Vegas Valentine's Day week, we're going to be there 5 days at two different hotels, and there's right now four of us. It looks like that number might grow to six Casino USA players going to Vegas for that week. We'll tweet about it. Maybe you can find us. Maybe we have a chance to meet out there. One of my favorite memories of 2017 was the Flyover States Craps Tour that we did. And we met 25, 30 listeners in our different stops. And it was just a wonderful thing to meet people. We met people at Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland. We met listeners at the Rising Star Casino in Rising Sun, Indiana. And also we had a great afternoon with a dozen listeners at the Belterra Casino, Riverboat Casino in Florence, Indiana. And we actually played craps together, and yours truly had a great role. So I'll never forget that. And it's just a lot of fun for us. We hope you're enjoying it. Don't hesitate to give us a call whenever you want, talking about your casino capers, or ask a question or make a comment. And our answering service is 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Our group name is Casinos USA, written as two words. On Twitter, It's Coach Fab at Casinos USA 2017. Coach Fab at Casinos USA 2017. And finally, our website, all our podcasts are archived there. We also have articles there and a multi-page website by our technician, Connor, does a fantastic job with that. And that's www.casinosusa.bet. Casinos USA written as one word, .bet, B-E-T. All right, thank you. We'll be taking some time off, and we'll pick you up in early February in preparation for our return to Las Vegas. Happy New Year. God bless you all. So long.
Hey, every day is Saturday.